was lovely.
It's the Two Johnnies Podcast.
The Two Johnnies Podcast.
Two Johnnies recording a podcast.
Hello, hello, hello.
You're welcome to the Two Johnnies Podcast, bringing you all the mayhem and news from the world of the Two Johnnies.
I'm Johnny B.
And I'm Johnny Smacks. Lads, hitting you with podcast number 18, coming at you loud and proud from the natural habitat of the Two Johnnies. That is Two Johnnies HQ, Care, County Tipperary. On this week's podcast, we are discussing leadership. What makes a good leader? What qualities do they need to possess? And how would we measure up as leaders?
Whether it be in the bog, signage field, or hurling pitch, he likes to drive it. The one and only retired hard man. 19 years he played senior hurling and he never caught a ball. But you know him as Noel Furlong. He'll be here with the news.
Producer Mara will be keeping us in check and under suspense with her mystery topic. We've exhausted Tinder at this stage. There's fellas just turning off their Tinder profile. So we're back to the mystery topic this week.
Exhausted, are we? Okay. No. You'll get a chance to defend yourself shortly, Mara. And we're going to be revealing our embarrassing guilty pleasures.
Yeah, I've around 4 hours on that.
Yeah.
I got a lot of abuse last week for online over the Love Island updates, but it didn't deter me. I'll be back and I'll be giving you all the Love Island gossip.
He's going to be keeping it short, lads. Do not switch off.
Please don't.
We'll round off, of course, with the proud tradition of the yurt and the dirt.
Before commencing with proceedings, matters arising from last week's podcast, Mr. Chairman.
One person going by the pseudonym, that's a big word for this hour of the morning, of Waterford Blah said, the nostalgia. Oh, sorry, they're probably from Waterford. The nostalgia of life is the 90s, bah. Was rife when I was listening to the podcast. I'm living out here in Korea 3 years, bah. I'm starting to feel like I was losing me Waterford accent. However, listening to these podcasts, I'm going around sounding like a right culture, and me students have no idea what I'm teaching them. Go on, the lads. An old little Korean lads saying lad would be great.
I tell you one thing, it's hard to understand Waterford people like here in Tipperary.
Yeah.
Imagine fucking Korea. Must be a nightmare altogether. Neve was in touch as well. She said, loving the podcast, the only one I listen to. Mara is a saint for putting up with you pair. Johnny B needs to jump on the Love Island bandwagon. That's a fact.
That's not a fact. A lot of people saying to us everywhere we go, Mara, jeez, that Mara's a fair saint for putting up with the two E. I swear to God.
Mara, fair play to you. Thank you for putting up with us.
For Mara. U.E. Sheehy snapped us in to say he was watching the 1990 Reeling in the Years the other day, and the mother said she remembered the day we were knocked out of Italia 90. A sad day. She was in Douala drinking creamy pints of stout. Well, she was only drinking half ones. To be fair, she was 9 months pregnant. And I popped out the following morning. And that comes in from Scalacci Sheehy.
Holly Hogan said, we had all the plastic hands and hammers and used to stand at the top of our road waving at traffic and getting beeped. Simpler times. That was obviously during the World Cup in 1990, or maybe 2002, I'd say.
2002.
Would have been 2002. Anne-Marie's new song, 2002.
I just want to give a shout out one more there, Johnny, before we go.
Go on.
At our show the other night, we were in Limerick City and I met a couple of boys, big fans of the podcast. A shout out to Pat the Trout. Now, Pat the Trout said one night I was coming home from a gig and I pulled up in Drumkeen. There's now a hall there, it used to be a dance hall, and it's now a furniture shop. And they have a big logo in the front saying Furniture Man. And your man is like there, like he's a superhero with a big F on his chest. But I was slagging him, saying he looks like the world's shittest superhero, Furniture Man. And Pat said he was at home and he seen on the snap that I was Drumkeen. So he hopped into the Cortina and he belted down the road to try and catch me. And then when he got there, I was gone. Yeah. So
Pat the Trout.
So Pat the Trout and Peter Donovan from Drumkeen, Cappamore around there. So thanks for coming to the show and following me around on Snapchat.
So what did the Two Johnnies do this week? Well, we're still getting over Tipperary's early exit from the Hurling Championship. It's probably too emotional of a topic for us to touch on at this early stage, Johnny.
Negative waves, man.
There was nearly tears coming out of Semple Stadium last week and we getting stopped for a load of photos. And I painted on a smile and then cried myself back to care. However, our spirits were revived by having a fun day in Tremore on the bumper cars and the hurdy-gurdies, as we call them, or as Johnny B's mother likes to call them.
The zippity-doo-dahs.
I've heard it all. We're on the Walsers as well, getting sick. We're filming, actually, our new music video.
Yeah, actually, no. We weren't on the Walters. The Walters were closed. Oh, we were bitterly disappointed about that. We were on the Oak that, as it spins round, it goes up and down. It was kind of a blustery day, so we were the only people on the ride. So the video is going to be good, but not as we intended.
No. It was meant to be lovely weather, and of course we picked the one day to go to Tremor, where it was absolutely miserable. It was wind and rain. But I can't wait for you to see the video.
You're on the beach like Michael Jackson in Earth Song.
I had an open shirt, like, you know, and I just like lifted up my arms and a
full... What about elephants?
Went full Michael Jackson on the beach. But I can't wait for you now to see that one.
It's true. It was a bit cold though. We were there in the t-shirts then. I had nipples like the wheel studs of a cartina. You could squeeze an orange over my nipples now.
They were like bullets.
Bullets. They were like JCB starter buttons now, they were, I'll tell you.
We had a great weekend also in Limerick. We brought the Big Show, Small Show, a comedy tour to an Empiric GA club in Limerick. We done a kids show, actually, for once. And we also done an adult show. The kids down in Limerick are gasping. Yeah. Have you a slitter? Give me a slitter.
Come here, I want you.
Come here, I want you for a minute. They're unreal. So we seen Noel chasing a couple of 8-year-olds around the hall, threatening to box the heads off them. It was brilliant.
And we are now going visiting the home of comedy, Athlone.
We're thinking of getting a helicopter. The fucking road's so bad up there.
We're bringing the Big Show, Small Show to Athlone on Friday the 27th of July. Over 18s and tickets are on our Facebook page.
Yeah, or any of our social media channels. We have the links up.
Hey, if you're listening to this and you're not following us on Snapchat and Instagram and Facebook, you should, because that's kind of where we started, was on Facebook doing sketches. So some people don't know that about us at all. Mm-hmm. You may go and find out.
Now, there you go. You heard it here first. All right, topic number one, leadership. This week marked Leo Varadkar's 1-year anniversary of becoming Taoiseach. So with that in mind, we thought we'd discuss leadership. Ask what makes a good leader, what qualities should a person possess if they're leading a group of people onto a pitch, into battle, or running the country. Johnny, what's your thoughts on Mr. Varadkar, first of all?
I kind of have to agree with Noel on this. In Ireland, we don't really have leaders that we stand behind or who really galvanise the country. It's more like, who's going to fuck things up the least?
Who's not going to make a... too bad, like.
Yeah. Like, not too bad is about the best thing you could say about an Irish politician. Yeah. Or the other great compliment is, fuck it, he's a gangster, but he's our gangster. They're the two nicest things I've ever heard said about an Irish politician. So now, Leo is gas, and maybe this is just an Irish thing, but me, I don't know anything about Leo. Bar his background is medicine, his constituency is Dublin 15, and he's gay. That's all I know, and I don't really care about any of those things. If you compare him to somebody like a Trump or a Vladimir Putin, who puts a lot of themselves into it, like Putin kind of tries to embody all the things he wants Russia to be and all that. And to me, Leo is like a guy who clocks in, you meet him in the office, how are you going? He's the accountant, he stays under the radar. Vladimir Putin is more like a lad self-employed, doing his own ads. Need your drains cleaned? Call Vladimir Putin. I clean your drains or I shoot you. So I think, you know, in Ireland, maybe that's just in Ireland. We don't really care enough about what people get up to. Like, if Leo Varadkar was doing a class job as Taoiseach, if he went home in the evening and strangled cats, like, it wouldn't bother me in the slightest.
Once he was doing a good job.
Whatever he does after 6 p.m, I really don't care.
But in fairness, like, Mario Rosenstock done a great job of running the country there when he was in charge.
He did.
He done more for Bertie Ahern, lads, than Fianna Fáil ever did.
Yeah.
But I mean, this isn't a politics podcast, so we're not going to get into it. But to be fair, speaking on leaders, there's nobody currently in politics that I would follow. You know, I would say, God, they're doing a great job. I'd stand behind him. I'd stand behind him. I'd go through a wall for him. I mean, Ming Flanagan. I wouldn't stand behind Ming. Would you?
No, probably not.
Mick Wallace.
Huh? The dandruff lad. I wouldn't stand beside him, never mind.
You couldn't stand behind a man in a pink t-shirt. for a start. What makes a good leader, Johnny?
Being self-aware. We talked about this a little bit, myself and Maureen, before you got here. That
I was still in bed.
A leader, right? Nobody's good at everything.
Yeah.
But if a leader can be good at either getting the best out of people or being an expert in something. So if you take like a sports team or that, nobody's good at everything. If you're a great motivator, like a Jurgen Klopp type fella, you've got to have a tactics guy with you who can, when people are saying like, oh, why are we playing this way? You've got to have a lad who can say, I'll tell you why we're playing that way, and who can answer the questions and be organized. So a leader, nobody's good at everything, but you've got to be strong and you've got to know what you're talking about.
I think the whole leaders thing, like particularly in sport, I think we were touching on it last week about Mavericks. I think leaders are almost deteriorating as well. They're going down. I think everything is so vanilla. We were having this out yesterday. The world has just gone so vanilla. You can't do or say anything too outrageous now. Whereas like, so Roy Keane was captain for Man United for many years and Ireland. I hate to bring it back to him again, but there was a leader who kind of ruled with an iron fist, led by example, and also expected a high standard from everyone. And like, he'd bark at his teammates. I think if a fellow was barking at his teammates now, like, they'd probably do him for bullying. Genuinely, I think things are so wrong at the moment that in sports particularly, there's nobody really that's inspirational anymore. I can't, like, Paul O'Connell, proper leader, you know, gave inspirational speeches, led by example, and dragged other lads up to a standard to play. Like, there's fellas playing with Paul O'Connell who weren't that great, but he almost gave him an extra 10%. Whereas now, I mean, who are the leaders now? Sexton is a great leader, I think, particularly touching on sport at the moment for Ireland. Leads by example and kind of drags us out of trenches when we really need him. I mean, sports-wise, what do you think, Johnny? Who are...
Paul O'Connell, inspirational. Like, I think someday Paul O'Connell should run for president.
100%. I'd elect him now. I'd stand behind him.
I don't think anyone would go against him.
Imagine sending him out to Angela Merkel now or something, like, if he was a politician. Like,
I need to have a word with you, Angela.
Put the fear of God into Angela. But, I mean, one of the great leaders, and it's an obscure one for mine, is Ian McGeoghegan, who was Lions coach, former Lions coach, and he also coached England. There was a man whose passion was so evident. He gave a speech to the Lions before one of the tests and broke down crying in the middle of it. And I'm a softie at heart. I definitely be like, come here, Ian, I'll give you a cuddle. I'll go through a wall for you now, no bother. I'll poke the head off a fella from New Zealand, no bother for you. But, I mean, we see it every day.
Is that what you want, like Alex Ferguson, to give you a few tears?
Yeah, I don't know. You see, everybody's different. So, like, everybody reacts differently. And we had this, and especially sports-wise. You know, everybody needs a little bit more coaching. I need loads of love.
See, that's the thing. Me and you would be very much opposite on this. So, the best coach I ever had was my MMA coach, Richie Smullen. So, like, he would be a type of guy that would say very little, you know, wouldn't talk a whole lot. And I remember one day, myself and my training partner, we were having a private session with him. And we'd, after been training for an hour and a half with the group team, and then we were doing an hour PT with Richie. So, like... And he was just getting us to drill things over again. And then he goes to us, and just, he wouldn't let people have a pity party. And he goes, you're not tired. Stop acting like you're tired. And then you switch back on, because you realize you're actually just not tired. You're physically capable of doing it. Your brain is telling you that your body's tired because you just don't want to keep going. But when you actually thought about it, no, I have another 40 minutes in me if I really push myself. And that was...
Oh, me and Richie wouldn't get on.
Yeah.
I'd be gone through the double doors of that gym immediately. I need love. And I'd say one of the best managers I had, he's Waterford senior football manager now, is Tom McLinchy. And I played the first round championship with Tom, and then he dropped me. And I didn't play again until the county semi-final. But in that time was a time frame of like 3 months. But Tom still made me feel invincible in the 3 months.
Yeah.
Although I wasn't playing, he was such a good people person, such a good motivator. And he kept everyone so happy. Because it is very hard to keep a panel of like 25 lads happy when only 15 can start.
Yeah.
But he had that kind of gift that he could keep everybody happy, which I think is probably most important, particularly GAA.
Yeah, getting the best out of the people you have is the most important thing. So if you take a guy who's over, like, you know, the head of fucking Toyota, I probably wouldn't let him service me car. He's not an expert on cars.
Yeah.
But his job is to manage the people who are experts. So if you're good at your job, you're like... doing a trade, and you get promoted to middle management, you could be all wrong for it. Mm. You could end up, maybe you can't show people how to do things. You end up going, just give it to me, I'll do it.
Yeah.
But sure, that's not leadership.
Are people born leaders? Or is it something that you actually develop?
A bit of both.
Yeah, I think people they either have it or they don't. For me, I think anyway.
Like, I think you can grow into a role too though.
Maybe so. I suppose everybody rules differently then as well. You can be quiet but assertive, or else you can shout and roar. That would be definitely mine. I'd be a great delegator. You know what I mean? If I could get someone else to do this podcast and I just tell them what to do, I tell you, we'd all be happier, lads, I think. Okay, so does a good leader have to be perfect, or can they be flawed?
Nobody's perfect.
That's a fair point.
So, flawed, I was talking earlier about, like, I read Che Guevara's biography, Gas Man.
I guess you said that like he lives in Ballylooby.
Seamus Guevara, yeah. Gas Man, totally away with the fairies. But he was a great man. Like, a whole army of lads, a country of people would die for him. They loved him, right? Great in that sense. But he became Minister of Finance. The man never had a job. He never bought to piss in. And he was Minister of Finance. The story was that in a meeting, Fidel Castro says, "Who knows about the economy?" And Che Guevara thought he said something about who's a good communist. And he put his hand up and they gave him the job. So he should have been able to look himself in the mirror and go, "I'm not the right man for the job. I'll go back to doing what I'm good, managing people."
And he didn't.
He didn't, no.
He stayed at the finance.
Yeah, sure, he's useless. Sure, then there'd be photos of him. He'd be out, like, you know, horsing around sacks of grain and cutting sugar and all, trying to help people out. But that's not his fucking job at all. You know what I mean? You see,
he should be crunching the numbers.
Yeah. Look at Vladimir Putin out there. There's pictures of him up on top of a bear, you know, with the shirt off, and out hunting and fishing and all. Do you think he'd, like, sort out the economy or stop invading Georgia? Stop bullying the Ukraine, like. Never mind fucking riding around on top of a bear.
Oh, jeez. That's unbelievable. Who do we admire as leaders? I like, for me, Paul O'Connell said it already, the ultimate leader.
Yeah.
And closer to home, like, Paddy Maher for tip.
Yeah.
He, like, there's a leader now.
But see, we're not in the dressing room.
Yeah, so you don't know.
Paddy's captain, but, like, I don't know if he ever opens his mouth.
Who knows? But, like, he leads by example. One of his clearances is enough for me, to be honest.
Yeah.
Him horsing a lad over. Yeah, like, when the crowd explodes in Temple Stadium, when he does one of the over-the-shoulders, for me, is that. And somebody said, actually, during the week, to change the subject on Twitter. Or
after the show on Saturday night in Limerick, a woman in her 50s came up to me. She was slightly toasted. She said, "I'm from Thurles, and let me tell you now, you're nearly as good-looking as Paddy Maher." Life goal achieved there.
And then Davey Russell was slagging you on Twitter, saying you look like Jason Ford.
I don't. Jason Ford is a ginger.
Yeah,
he's a ginger.
He's ginger. So Davey, calling you out.
We're calling out Davey Russell.
We're calling you out. Going back to leaders. I mean, can somebody, how can somebody in a leadership role be bad at their job?
Oh, it's happening all the time.
Just looking for Edgar.
Look at Donald Trump. He puts his personal preferences ahead of what's right for the nation time and time again. All he wants to do is make himself look good.
I think you have to admire Trump, though, to a certain degree, for actually getting elected. I mean, he came up with a strategy. So he said, "I'm going to lie to everyone." Mm. And I mean, who better to lie to than the Yanks? Because they'd believe it. They believed it.
Yeah.
They elected a man who told them lies. Straight up. Like, look at Obama. They all say he's a great leader. Oh, what a great leader he was. But I mean, what did he actually do? Like, he gave great speeches. He was quite inspirational. I mean, I think the fact that he was actually the first black president of America certainly helped him. But I mean,
I think Barack Obama's problem was that before he was president, he was a constitutional law professor. And for, like, hillbillies and rednecks, they just wouldn't be able to relate to him at all.
We don't like no constitution.
So instead, they elected a man who was head of the Apprentice TV show in America. What is
going
on?
But he talked their language. He spoke in very short, simple sentences, used simple words, and, you know.
Next president of America, the Walmart kid. Got a feeling
of blue. They're all saying it's going to be Oprah.
Or Michelle Obama.
Michelle Obama.
Or Kanye West.
I think The Rock has a good chance.
The Rock, yeah. Mm. Why not? He's in everything else. He may as well be president as well.
Lad, if he doesn't release a movie every 2 weeks, he gets the jitters, like. He gets the shakes. Huh? He's the American Paul O'Connell anyway, The Rock.
So who's been a good leader, Johnny? Who's led by example for you?
In my life?
In your life, yeah.
Nobody. No.
You've paved your own way.
Yeah. In our GA club, I suppose you had one or two guys who always delivered it on the field, were good club men, and then were able to pull you aside and have a chat. But the combination of those things is a definite rarity. Because the old saying that leaders don't create followers, they create more leaders. If you're put in charge of a team of people at work or a sports team, you want the situation where you get sick and 2, 3, 4 other guys stand up to the plate, take it on the chin and work together. And that is not done enough in life, because people, like the Donald Trump thing, it's too important that I look good. Like, if you're in a club and you're paying an outside manager, he feels we have to win.
Yeah.
And he feels that he has to take responsibility and look good.
100%, I agree. Like, there's no one I've really been like, God, they're inspirational. Like, a few lads we've played with and stuff like that have been very good. Like, but no one I'd really be like, God, what a leader. Like, stand behind him. There's no one, like, and I look at ourselves. I mean, I don't know. Are we good? Are we good leaders? I mean, am I a good leader?
You lead me into temptation.
I lead people astray, to be honest.
Lead me not into temptation. I can make my own way in.
I'm a great man to get a night out, like, going and stuff like that.
You are, in fairness now. But you hound everyone on that WhatsApp group.
Yeah. I'm relentless.
Come on, you pussies. Come out.
And if they say no to me, I ring them.
Yeah.
Because I'm even stronger than on the phone. You know, I'm very firm.
Well, I have found myself in leadership positions a couple of times. I've been in bands where I had to manage the band. And that's difficult when you're friends with people and you're working in a creative zone. And then if someone doesn't do their job, you have to say, hey there, my friend of 10 years, cop the fuck on. You know, but you've got to be able to say it, and they've got to be mature enough to take it. But you've got to be good at communicating it too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're a good leader.
Like. Oh, thanks, Johnny.
You're very, you're quite firm. And even when it comes to GA, like, if you have something to say, you'll say it, like. Whereas a lot of lads would kind of, like, I've seen it in restrooms over the year, they'll bitch about things.
Down the pub.
Yeah, down the pub, like, after the game. Be like, sure, that's stupid, we shouldn't be doing that. But they won't say it, like. Yeah. Whereas, like, I found that Johnny, like, he'll say it. And if there's something he has to say to me, he'll also say that, like, you know. And as well as being best friends, we're also business partners.
Sometimes Smacks wishes I'd shut the fuck up a bit.
Sometimes I need to be told straight. But I mean,
well, there was one one incident when I was managing the Junior B hurling team. We were playing a challenge match against Arval Rovers, and they only had 14, so one of our lads had to play with them. And I had said to the boys, like, lads, you've got to come training or not playing you. And then when it came to the corner forward, I was throwing out the jerseys and there was two lads left, Rock and me mate Grinder. And I gave the jersey to Rock because he'd been training. And afterwards, Grinder, Tony is his name, he was like, I can't believe it. You looked at me and you gave the jersey to Rock, for fuck's sake. And I said, you hadn't been training, not once. He didn't speak to me for about 2 weeks after.
Yeah, you see, yeah. I think when you're a leader, you have to be almost prepared to nearly fall out with people.
Yeah, I think for me, I would sum up a good leader as the person who does the right thing, even when there's no reward for them.
Yeah.
Aha. So looking at us, who's a better leader?
Jeez, I think we're asking me which we.
Yeah, no, which one's your favourite?
I would never.
Who's your favourite child?
No.
No, I definitely
sorry,
say.
Sorry, Mar doesn't have any children. Just want to get that out there for a Tinder listener.
Thing, yeah, it's okay. If any kids appear in her Tinder profile, they're not hers.
But she kind of mothers us a good bit, to be fair.
Yeah, yeah, she's like a mammy to us. But I've been captain of a team before. And, like, I don't think. I wasn't over vocal. I mean, if I had to say something, I'd say it, like, but I was kind of more like geeing lads up and having, like, private conversations with guys.
I think you'd be very different types of leader. So you'd be completely all about the passion, and then you'd, Johnny V would be very much more measured but firm.
Yeah.
So, like, you'd be the disciplinarian, and then you'd be the, like, hype guy. So, like, he's actually would make a good.
So exactly what I do, like, in the two Johnnies, just the hype guy. I'm back to the role of Bez in the Happy Mondays again.
But that's an important part. Like, would the Happy Mondays be anywhere without Bez?
They need Bez.
Yeah.
Exactly. Everybody needs a bit of Bez in their life. But going back to me as a captain, like, I was kind of like,
yeah, back to me.
I'm not getting enough credit on this.
Did I mention I was captain?
I was captain once. Never again. No, it was actually a tough job. And when it came to decisions, I was never consulted. So I made no odds. I may as well have not been actually captain. Yeah. So it's a strange one. But you've managed. Like, you've managed that junior B team. And to be fair, lad, you know what I mean? You should have got a medal because there's lads in that team.
There's times now where we were tight for numbers and there was guys who were talented but were fond of the drink. And I, like...
Let's just emphasise, Johnny was manager of a junior B team.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can...
There was one occasion where we needed a lad, but he'd been out and that, and he wasn't answering the phone. And I called to his house and he didn't answer. And then I hopped the gate and I climbed in the bedroom window and I pulled him out, like... I dragged him out into the car. And then we got him into the car and I brought him into the game. And I was, like, drinking a bottle of Lucozade or something. And he was like, "Will you fucking stop drinking that? I'm going to get sick." So that was my job because obviously I was young. I was only about 21 managing that team. I wasn't a hurling expert. But I had a lad with me who knew a lot about hurling. And then before that, I had a lad who was great to get under lad's skin. He'd say things like, "There's two kinds of people in this world. People who bully and people who get bullied." And he'd point at someone in the face and he'd say, "You're getting bullied." He was a great man to throw down the gauntlet. But you'd respect him.
Yeah.
It was like the time Tom Lynch, she told me it wasn't under 14 anymore.
Yeah.
"Johnny, it's not under 14 anymore. It's a fella throwing you around the place. Look at the size of you." I was like, "He stood in me heel, Tom. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it." So I'm sure Tom probably listens to the podcast on his trips up down to Waterford. Come back, Tom. We'll take you back with open arms.
Yeah, we will. Yeah, you've got to be able to get stuck in. And a manager has got to be able to do the hard call.
Yeah, 100%.
That's something that probably you were saying more about us. Could we be leaders? Well, since starting the Two Johnnies, we have grown a thick skin. And we're not afraid to make difficult phone calls or haggle or criticise ourselves and each other. So we've had to toughen up a bit.
Yeah, like I was like, you know, I'm terrible to take instruction and stuff like that. I'm not great with taking instruction from leaders, but as regards the Two Johnnies, like, I've actually had to grow up, like, because you know, when you're in a job working somewhere else, everything's laid out for you. You know you're going to get your wages, you know you're working these hours, that hours. With the Two Johnnies, like, we've actually had to
it's up to ourselves.
It's our own destiny. So I suppose we're leaders, we lead each other. And sometimes we lead each other down the wrong path. But we try it. So summing up a leader, lads.
One more about having self-confidence or believing in yourself. When I was over that junior team, we had an incident where we had a small lad playing full forward, but he was lightning. And I used to love playing him there, and he wanted to play there. So I said, "Grant." And then we're playing him again, and they had a big slobbery lad full back. He was all over him, and our lad wasn't getting much of the ball. And I said, "But I know. But he's been so close 3 or 4 times now. Leave him there. He's going to get a goal." And they kept on to us and kept on to us. "You have a big lad in corner forward. Throw him in on the big lad full forward." And I said, "No, the big lad corner forward needs the room because he's effective. But he's as awkward as a newborn calf." Right? And my father even rang me from the stand. "What are you doing? Will you swap the two of them?" The chairman of the club crossed the field. "What are you doing? Will you swap the two of them?" Everybody was onto us. And at halftime we said, "Grand." And we swapped him. And within 1 minute, our big corner forward went in full forward and got a straight red. They got into a tussle. We knew that they were all wrong for each other.
Yeah.
But we cracked to the pressure.
Yeah.
And if
you learned from that and you'd be...
We should have told everyone to feck off.
Yeah.
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 And believed in ourselves that we knew the team better.
Yeah. You do become a good leader by learning from your mistakes as well. So.
There you go. Yeah.
Cheers, you'll be a genius, Johnny.
Because I've made a load of mistakes. And to anyone out there who, you know, has to ever lead me, be nice to me, cuddle me, tell me I'm good at things.
You're brilliant.
Thanks, Mara. Yes, we got it. We got there in the end. All right, that's lovely. That's leaders, lads.
Yeah.
That's leaders.
So anyone who's inspired you, lads, hit us up.
Yeah, we want to hear. We want to hear. Get in touch on using the hashtag #2JohnnysPod or get onto us on the social media, JohnnyBTipman @JohnnySmacks, and let us know who ye think are good leaders. And tell us this, who you'd like to see lead the country. I'm going Johnny B for Taoiseach.
I couldn't handle it.
Good money.
It is good time, but I couldn't handle it.
Good time. Get it into you.
No, I do the presidency.
Presidency.
Be handy.
Sure they don't do that.
Yeah, I'm sure it'd be great crack.
Michael Lee going around putting up green flags.
Shall we do that?
We do that. Environmentally friendly, right? Two Johnnies. Oh. All right, we've spoken leaders, and there's another leader has just entered the room. Whether it be Kim Kardashian, Nathan Carter, or Boris Johnson, this man knows the truth about him, and that's a fact. It's Noel Furlong, and it's time for Noel's News!
Noel's News! It's Noel's News!
Well, young fella.
Well, Noel, how are you?
I'm all right.
Good to have you here. Busy week.
You?
No, you.
Did you get out of bed, did you?
Sorry, I was late this morning, all right? You probably heard about that, did you?
I did. They were talking about it from the altar this morning.
I didn't know you were practicing Catholic, Noel.
Oh, yeah. Practicing. I have the hang of it now. I'm a professional Catholic. I'm good, yeah? The weather's turned harsh.
Tis, yeah. Are you flat out with the firemen now, yeah?
I am, but like, the weather is harsh on the old people.
Yeah?
The young people don't be thinking about the weather.
Are you struggling with the weather, yeah?
I am a small bit now. Dampness came down on me.
And have you still the vest on now, this weather?
I like the old thermal vest, then when the weather turns. Do you know, you'll be bulletproof with that on.
Go on, what have you got for us this week?
Now, my first news story of the week. A Canadian clarinet player has sued his ex for deleting his scholarship offer. Did you hear this?
No.
You didn't hear this, no?
No. Where do you find these stories?
I suppose if it wasn't on fucking nudie Snapchat, you wouldn't hear about it. So the Canadian clarinet player sued his ex-girlfriend. She deleted his scholarship offer. And I know what you're thinking. How did a clarinet player have a girlfriend? But look, this is Canada. When your most famous musicians are Bryan Adams and Celine Dion, the clarinet is the least of your problems.
What about Michael Bublé?
Is he Canadian, is he?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be gone to him now. He's a bit too smooth now. A bit too sweet to be wholesome, that fella. Now, this young lad, Eric Abramovich, he was flat out playing the clarinet. And he's fairly handy at it too now, by all accounts. He'd been playing the clarinet since he was 7 years old. 7 years old, he started playing the clarinet. The parents must be some pricks, I'll tell you that now. There must be no hurling in Canada. So it was his dream to study under the famous clarinet master, Yehuda Galad. So, if that was his dream, he didn't have much of an imagination. But each to their own, in fairness now. You know, we all have a dream. I'd love to have hurled a match with Francis Devaney. Or laid a verse with Tupac. He gas man Tupac. So, he went for an audition down this college in L.A. Where your man was in charge. And he was going out with this young one at the time. Ginny Lee was her name. Abroad in Montreal, up in Canada. She didn't want him to go at all.
Yeah.
She didn't want him going to college at all. So the email came in. That's some sort of a letter, I think. Telling Eric that he'd been accepted into the course. And didn't she see the email?
Oh, no.
And reply, pretending to be Eric. And she turned down the scholarship. Said, no, I'm not going at all. Fuck you. So, there was a time when Carmel used to be hiding letters from me about committee meetings. Because I go to a GA committee meeting and I wouldn't go home till Tuesday. That's a fact. So Jenny, she set up a fake email account. And he gave up the old pipe. She set up a fake email account with her man's name on it. Gilad-Yehuda09@gmail.com. I don't know where that is. And she offered the boyfriend a different place with no scholarship. And she knew he wouldn't accept it. Because he had no money without a scholarship. He's a clarinet player. He's not Jimmy Buckley. Ching, ching. There's nobody jiving around to the clarinet of a Sunday evening in Tiptown. The Times Hotel don't have T.R. Dallas and the clarinet. So Ginny got her way anyway. Eric turned it down and he stayed with her abroad in Montreal, tipping away at our music. But he was wicked upset over not getting the course, and soon after they broke up. So 4 years later, Eric was going for another course. And Yehuda is there, and Yehuda says, "How come you're coming back to me now? You didn't take the last offer, huh?" Eric says, "Huh?" "Huh? Huh? 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 Huh?" And Eric went home and he went through the emails, the sent ones, and didn't he find the one that Ginny had sent?
Oh, God.
He a pure take. He like a bull. And he rang Yehuda and said, "I didn't send it at all, Tal. I didn't send it at all, Tal." And then he checked that account that he got the email from, the Gmail one, and wanted Eric to log in with one of Jenny's favourite passwords. And the jig was up. Jenny's goose was cooked by. So, he took her to court and they awarded him $350,000. They gave him. That's about 800 euro. But to me, I think it was his own fault. They said in the court, Miss Lee had access to his laptop. There's your first problem. Huh? Imagine your mother looking through your laptop. She'd want to wash out her eyes with Jay's fluid. Huh? Fucking horse porn. She wouldn't be right for a week after. So now, my second gripe of the week. Hang on, I have a mug of tea here, so I'm cold. You give me fucking cold tea and all. So, the World Cup have kicked off. That's a pun.
I like what you're doing there, Noah.
Like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, kicked off, you know.
Soccer. Very good, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, I got that out of Ireland's own. So, the tournament had a big opening ceremony. And I watched a bit of it. And I must say, it was absolute dog shite. Horse in a bucket. Robbie Williams was there singing. Robbie Williams was there.
Yeah.
I thought he was dead. They got the Russians dug him up. The Russians dug him up, right? He going around in a shiny red suit like a bad Elton John. And he stuck up his finger at the camera. Did you see that?
I seen that, yeah.
The pup. You wouldn't see Joe Dolan at it. You would not. So he have a new song out called Party Like a Russian. Now if that means going to your friend's flat, drinking a gallon of Aldi vodka and starting a fight, then fair enough, Rabbi. But the most...
Sorry, no, just Johnny Sacks is drooling a bit.
You're gone full fucking simple, you are. You have to get in a fit of consumption, though.
That's the funniest thing we've ever...
So... Anyway, the most famous Russian party I ever heard was the Communist Party. And they were fucking no crap. They were no good to drink. Just complaining is all they did. But now Robbie was a wicked man for complaining too. In the middle of one of the songs, he said, "You alright there, young fella? You alright?" He gone.
I was thinking it in butcher and soup fat.
The local shop have a new butcher, a Polish lad. He was a Romanian, is he? He comes in. I said, "Well, young fella, what's the crack? Do you want the bag?" Fucking hell, like talking to a fucking answer machine. So, Robbie Williams had gone on there and he'd given out like fuck. Given out. He stuck up the middle finger and in the middle of the song, he said, "I did this for free." Did you hear that?
I actually didn't hear that, no.
He said that in the middle of one of the songs. He did it for free. Yeah, because FIFA have no money. FIFA, fuck's sake. I'd rather see the competition ran by Al-Qaeda. The head lads in FIFA, They keep getting away with all these corruption charges. Mm. There's more money gone missing than the Fianna Fáil Churchgate collection. They're as bad as the old lads who used to degate in Páirc Uí Chaoimh. Do you remember them? No.
I've never been to Páirc Uí Chaoimh, sorry.
Jeez, I don't know what kind of people you're dragging in here. So, do you remember there was a time you could go to Páirc Uí Chaoimh and you could pay for tickets with cash, with punts, on the turnstile? It was 2 and 6 pence would get you into the terrace. And they'd announce it over the old speakers then, today's attendance, 18,000. And you wouldn't be able to fucking twist inside the place. There'd be 55,000 lads wedged in. Frank Murphy, he'd be rubbing lads of Vaseline going in the door, trying to fucking squeeze them in. So there'd be a few pounds gone missing. But I tell you, FIFA are worse. So the opening ceremony, there was young ones dancing around with footballs sewn onto their heads. So that's cheating. Typical of the fucking Russians, huh? First, I thought they were balancing the football on top of their skull. And I says to Carmel, Christ, there's talented women in Russia. And she said, have you been eating in the Chinese again? I said, 'tis lovely, but no. So, after an hour of fooling from Robbie Williams and Chunky Ronaldo, not the Portuguese lad who thinks he's He-Man, the first Ronaldo with the bad hair. Anyway, eventually a match broke out. So Russia were kicking soccer against Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia in the World Cup and Ireland aren't. How the fuck Saudi Arabia get in? They haven't even got grass. How have they a soccer team? They haven't got grass. Training tonight, 7:30, lads. Where? The Gobi Desert. Fuck, did they get into the World Cup? But they got a clipping anyway. The Russians bet the Christ out of many. 5-0 they got bet. 5-0
Aught. What do you mean aught?
087 Like a phone number. Aught.
Not naught.
Aught. So tickets were about $500.
Whoa. What's that in Irish money?
That'd be 19 shilling and and tuppence. But they were around $500 for a ticket to see lads kicking a bag of wind around the field. Or not a bother to the Arabs, like. Mm. They have loads of money. It's all fun and games until the aisle runs out. Huh? Mm. So it's up and running, but I tell you, I don't hold a candle now to the Munster Championship.
I'd agree there, yeah.
Yeah. If you said to me, no, you can go to Russia there and watch the soccer, I'd say no.
That's good. We're actually going to send you to Russia for next week's Noel's News.
You can fuck off. No, bar Ennis. Oh God, I hate Ennis.
You don't like Ennis?
Not at all. Fucking, there's only two things in Ennis. There's that bad hurling field and depression. I'm not going up there ever again. I'll tell you about that another day. But my local story, very serious. Vandalism in town. Coming out of mass Sunday morning, and didn't I meet Dick Vaughan? Very upset. The dick was in a bad place. Now, you know Dick. He had a two-man band going. You know, doing the old sessions. Dick and Tommy. Now, Tommy Gasman wouldn't say boo. He just sits there behind the keyboard. A big fat fucker in a suit. He's like a human Mr. Tato. So they were doing the music Saturday night at Josie Wade in 70s. A great night, by all accounts. So, a great night, by all account. Now, ever since Josie's husband passed away, didn't the fucking man safe in town? Oh,
Jesus.
And I'd say Dick was going to oblige. But he came out of Margaret's pub, now till fairly late at this stage. I mean, you know Margaret. And only to see the absolute destruction on the main street of the village. The tidy towns had been flat out with the flower pots. And when Dick came out, wasn't there Nigel Ryan's chrysanthemums all up on top of Dick's Corolla. A few boys coming home, I'd say they got an ocean and they started destroying the place. Well, Dick was distraught. The dick was down. Very down. He said he's going to give up the music and all.
Go ahead.
Yeah, he said all the young people now, all they want is S Club 7. I said, who are they? He said they're some sort of folk group from Limerick. But I couldn't believe he still had the old Corolla. That joke's as old as tea. I said, Dick, would she drink ale? He said she would if she got it. So he was telling me this Sunday morning, and overcomes the Tidy Town Brigade. Well, such a fucking shower of do-gooders. I can't stomach them at all.
Who the Tidy Towns?
I can't stomach that crowd at all.
What have you against them now?
Oh, Maureen. And the county councillors and stuck in the middle of them. Councillor Danny. I swear if he took a shite, it'd be a three-page spread in the paper. A three-page spread in the paper. I can't handle them at all. Patricia Nolan is bad, you know her?
Yeah.
She's as bad. Head bottle washer. I swear if Danny was saying mass, she'd be up licking the altar rail. And they were trying to rope me into Jane. And I said, no way. I said, I can't. I'm over the Junior B's. There's me evening's gone. Between that now and a bit of shooting, I'd be flat out. So, speaking of the Junior B's, I got a letter in. Lads were saying, how are the team getting on? Well, there was training Tuesday night and I had to intervene. Fuck it, I had to intervene. A man can only stand so much. Now, I swallowed my tongue when they were hand passing. But when they started working on short puck outs, I nearly fucking collapsed. And they said to me, Noel, leave the coach to his job. Leave the coach to his job. I said, he's no coach. Just because you call him the coach, don't make him the coach. That don't mean he know anything about hurling. When I want my prostate checked, I don't ring Dr. Ray. Do you know that wrestler, the Undertaker?
Yeah.
Not an Undertaker. So, I went out the coach and he had a hurley in his hand. I pulled it off him. You should see the cut of it. I wouldn't put it into the fire for fear to quench the fire. It was the worst yoke I ever seen. And that management team that are over the other lads, just the senior lads, they're as fucking bad as the Russians. I'd sooner have a training session ran by Vladimir Putin than them lads. He a bad man. Little known fact about Vladimir Putin. Did you know his father is actually a bear? His father was a bear and his mother was very drunk. And now Vladimir Putin actually sleeps upside down in a cave. And that might be the reason that he can't be killed with conventional weapons. So the Tidy Towns are full steam ahead and they're in the weeds safe around the town. And they want new everything. New this and new that. Mm. And I said, what about the traditions of the town? I says to him, you have to look behind you before you can move forward. That's what my Uncle Jimmy used to say. And he was a driving instructor. So look, that's enough handy talk for today. I must go away. We're covering the pit.
Oh.
You're covering the pit?
We're covering the pit today, yeah. And I have the whole under 12 Camogie team out giving me a hand.
Thanks very much, lads. That was Noel's
news. Right, go on. Good luck.
Talk to you later. Okay, moving on from Noel's news, lads. I hope you all relaxed and nobody's been hurt during Noel's news. That's Mara's mystery topic. Normal service has resumed this week. She's refusing to tell us any more of her Tinder secrets, so it's back to being put on the hotspot by our producer, Mara. Mara, lay it on us. What have you got for us this week?
Okay, so I didn't want to say it to Noel when he was here, but he had a bit of a senior moment during the week and he left me a voicemail asking me to serve mass. Now...
Forgot about that, yeah.
Now, poor Noel didn't realise that he actually touched on a very, you know, old wound, sore spot for me, because I never got to serve mass. Father Butler, basically the parish priest at the time when I was in sixth class, said no to girls to serve mass. So, and I really wanted to serve mass because you got time off from class, you got a bit of money, and at the end of the year, as a thanks, Father Butler would bring all the children to Mosny. So a minibus of lads got to go off to Mosny. So I was devastated by this. Now, my sister got to sixth class. A new parish priest had come in, Father Cotton, who's a sweetheart. And like his very first mass, I said to my sister afterwards, I said, Claire, do you want to serve mass? And she's like, yeah. So I was like, right, come on. Went up, knocked on the sacristy store door, like, Father Con, are you decent? Yeah. You know, we take lots of lessons anyway. But I said to him, my name's Moore. This is my sister, Claire. She wants to serve mass, basically sorted out. So anyway, he was him and Hon, and he's saying that, like, apparently there were some elders in the parish that didn't want girls serving mass. Anyway, it happened. She got to serve mass and whatever. But it's still, like, devastating for me. So I want to know, what did I miss out on? Did ye ever serve mass? And, you know, I just feel that, like, I missed out an important part of, like, Irish
You missed out on those.
I missed out on the trip to Mosny. That's the worst thing. Yeah.
I wouldn't go to Mosny.
Not now.
No. Mosny is a very different facility.
Different facility now. I never served mass. Although I used to go to mass every week with my nanny and my mother. Mother used to drag me along until I was around 12 or 13 and I made my own mind up and I pretended to go to mass. So I used to go down and throw the head in and see what priest was saying mass and grab a leaflet. And I'd head off then, arsing around then, kicking ball. And I'd go back then, and the mother said, we at mass? Yeah. Who said mass? I said, Father Collins. She said, go away, you weren't there at all. I said, I was. Here's the leaflet. That's thinking. But I never served mass. I never felt inclined to do it. I was always into my style. And robes aren't a good look on a heavy 10-year-old. Let me tell you that. Did you ever serve mass, John? You probably did.
I did, yeah, of course I did.
Did you?
Yeah.
Big ponytail on you.
No, I was in primary school, lad. Psalm crack serving mass. You know, there was different, you'd be actually on little teams.
There was a rota.
Yeah, there was a rota. Mm. So on my team, some crack, me mate Gonzo, he might have heard me talking about, we were on the same team. Oh, lads. He used to be daring me to do stuff. We'd be daring each other. And one day Gonzo lost the bet. And you know, he had the rope and it'd actually go down to your ankles. Like. Yeah. Gonzo served mass in his jocks. He was wearing nothing under the robe, just his jocks. And a pair of Doc Martin boots.
Oh, God.
Yeah, just for a skit, like.
A pair of Doc Martin boots.
Yeah.
Oh, God. No, I never felt inclined to serve mass, to be honest.
It was great crack. Yeah, during Lent and all then, there'd be 10 o'clock mass. Mm. You'd skip out of school.
Yeah, you'd get out of Irish. Oh, it's devastating. Like,
if I'd have known that, I might have served mass.
It's great crack, yeah. It took us about 10 minutes to walk to the church and you'd be let off on your own. 2 10-year-olds walk down to mass there.
Times have changed. How do you serve mass now? How would you go about it? And what's the age cut off?
I'd say you'd be too old.
Yeah. I'm just wondering, like.
No, it was all boys back in my day now.
Oh, really?
Oh, we were a right clan. Mm. There'd be an old wedding on or something and there'd be lads, all the groomsmen would be arsing around out the back of the sacristy, like, you know, waiting to meet the priest. And they might be smoking fags. And they might give you a buttered or fag. So you'd be 11 years old. Gives a drag of that. And because it's the wedding, they've all probably had a couple of, you know, straighteners. They give you an old drag of a fag. Yeah, classes. I'm getting sick out the back then.
I'm going to ask your mam if she has any photos of you serve mass.
I'll get you one.
I want one of them.
I don't know, like, flash photography would be frowned upon during Lent, mass at Lent.
During Lent.
He's making the bollocks, like, you get a big fist at, you know, altar bread. What do they call it? Communion. Mm. Big swallow, big fist of communion, like.
Yeah.
Bit of communion for the breakfast.
Yeah, I never drank the altar wine now. I'm fairly sure Gonzo had a crack at the altar wine. A couple times.
That's one fact there we've unearthed in Mara's Mystery Topic. I never knew you served mass.
Yeah. And all the church in Care now is massive. So each section would have its own name. Like, the row of seats down the back were called, like, Cancer and Cupid. And there was never an explanation. The other ones were just like left, right.
Pretty self-explanatory, yeah.
One day I was passing the basket around and a fella threw a 50-euro note into it. That's a fact.
What did you do? What did you do? Put in your rock?
I didn't. I thought about it. But Father Reedy hit eyes like a hawk. Like, you wouldn't get away with it.
In Ross Gray, I know they have they pass around the kind of thing, the offertory collection. And it's not, it used to be a basket, but now it's like a bag. Mm. And you can't see what
people
put in it.
Yeah.
So I got caught rotting Abby's confirmation. I had no money on me. So they passed me the bag and I just passed it on again. Give him nothing, bye.
The priest would be saying, pass the basket around and I want a silent collection now, lads. All notes. Don't give me any brus.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and then that answers my question. So I did miss that because you seem to have grey crack doing it, Johnny B. Yeah. But at least smacks, me and smacks have something in common now that we both. Well, you missed out on it by choice. I missed out on it because, you know.
Yeah, I remember them coming into the school, all right, and been like, I'll fill out this form if you want to serve mass. And then, like, I was like, oh, I think I'll fill this out, Matt. She was like, go away, I'm not getting up early now. Get you down to mass in time. So, there you go. That's why I didn't serve mass. That do you, Maura?
I'm very happy with that.
I made a few pounds. I remember doing a wedding once and got a fiver for it.
Jeez.
And a lot of money to a 12-year-old.
He still has it in the bank.
It's worth 5.34 now.
Don't forget to rate, review, and tell your friends about the Two Johnnies podcast and use the hashtag Two Johnnies Pod. That's the number 2 JOHNNIESPOD. Use that on Twitter, Instagram, the whole lot. Maura's constantly checking it. And she keeps us up to date. We also check it as well. And you'll get us on the Snapchat and Instagram at Johnny B Titman.
I'd have
Johnny Smacks.
Good debates with lads on Snapchat.
Yeah. Of course.
And one of our regular contributors, Nanjing Liu.
Mm-hmm.
Big shout out to Nanjing Liu. Actually met her. She came to the show at the weekend.
Did she?
Yeah.
Oh, very good.
So it's good to put a face to the Snapchats and stuff. And
to the pseudonym.
Yes. Lovely, Johnny. Lovely link.
That's good, isn't it?
You're such a professional.
RTE, are you listening?
Topic number 3. This week, we're talking guilty pleasures. A guilty pleasure is defined as something such as a film, television program, piece of music that one enjoys despite feeling that it is not generally held in high regard. So we are now about to set aside any notions we have of being cool or taking ourselves too seriously and reveal what private activities are our guilty pleasures.
So this came up in conversation because of your love of Love Island.
Yes.
Which is a bit of a guilty pleasure, Johnny. You have to admit that. It's not very cool.
Man, it's so cool. It's like the coolest thing. It's weird because, like, you know, I'm about to list out guilty pleasures that I actually find quite acceptable in my life. But, I mean, yeah, I guess Love Island is a guilty pleasure.
You're a modern man, John.
That's me, John. That is me, boy. A new age man. That's what I like to call myself. So your guilty pleasures, Johnny.
So Maura has given us a few pointers of where to start here. And on music, the two of us now love Eurovision.
Oh,
Maura,
yes.
We were coming home from the show Saturday night and we were wrecked. And I just got the old YouTube hooked up in the car. Next minute. 7.5 minutes of bliss.
Oh, lads. Honest to God, you tell me a better piece of music than Riverdance.
And we have to, we always go for the version that has Terry Wogan's commentary over it.
They always finish together. Ladies and gentlemen, and Jerry Ryan then, God rest him, man, and you're on saying, ladies and gentlemen,
Riverdance.
It's the best. So, I mean, I don't know, this is probably uncool.
No, well, after Riverdance, obviously we went straight for Rock and Roll Kids, Charlie McGinley and Paul Harrington, which is our favourite song ever.
Mm-hmm.
After that, we actually skipped back to Johnny Logan, Hold Me Now.
Some voice.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Now, you know, and there's a man who has a guilty pleasure of wearing leather pants.
He is the Irish Patrick Swayze.
Yeah.
He is. After that, then we went for In Your Eyes.
Yeah.
I see the light.
Neve Kavanagh.
Ah. We went on a bit. We went on a bit of a rabbit hole then of Eurovision.
Yeah, and we ended up on the streets.
Yeah, so it's more Irish Eurovision, Mickey Joe Hart, and that than Eurovision in general. I didn't even watch it this year now, but
no, nor me. And I guess guilty pleasure is talking music. I'm an awful man. This is my
Johnny just has an awful taste in music.
My guilty pleasures is boy bands, particularly Westlife and Boyzone. I just love it. I've been to like 3 Westlife concerts. I don't mind saying it. Yes, please, it is a guilty pleasure.
Please don't turn off. We'll go back to talking about hurling and silage in a minute.
I love Westlife and Boyzone. Particularly Westlife, I would.
Why?
I just love the songs. I just love them. They're such good songs. Oh, the seasons coast. That's a classic, lad. You listen to heavy metal. That's a guilty pleasure.
Heavy metal. It is, I suppose, yeah. This morning, I was listening to... What did I have in my head? I had that Jason Derulo song in my head, so I had to go and Google that. And then I balanced it out with a bit of Corrosion of Conformity.
My goodness. That is a guilty pleasure.
Not deadly.
And when it comes to food, what's your guilty pleasures?
Pizza.
Pizza.
Easily, easily now, I'd sit down and swallow a 16-inch pizza. If I had enough garlic sauce to go with it, I'd lower that in my own.
Oh, an animal for garlic sauce, this fella. Yeah. Yeah, but that's... No. That's almost a guilty pleasure.
I'd eat me foot if there was garlic dip on it.
My guilty pleasure of food is actually, it's a strange one. It's gherkins. So I literally eat a McDonald's burger and I'll eat all around the burger and leave the gherkin in the burger till last, and I'll savour that last bite. Subway as well, like, I'd be getting like tuna on the Subway, you know, trying to be healthy, and I'm like throwing a load of gherkins there. Strange, but that is kind of my guilty pleasure.
Who is it we met who drinks the juice out of a jar of gherkins?
Oh, that's some animal, lad. I don't know. I'm going to claim I don't know them anyway.
I thought it was you. Somebody told us that recently.
No. I can categorically say that now, but I don't drink gherkin juice. But
would you go home and eat gherkins on their own, like?
I did. Got them in Aldi one time, actually.
Gherkins?
Yeah, and just ate a couple of them. They're nice. Nice. Lovely. Johnny, guilty pleasures, movies. Talk to me on films.
Yeah, I have a habit now when we're doing shows late at night that when I come in and I put on a movie, I don't want that in too taxing. I want to leave my brain at the door. So I got an old dodgy box off a lad. Can I say that?
I don't know if you can say that. Yeah, go on.
Great.
You've said it now, anyway.
I have the internet. I have access to endless amounts of films.
Yes.
So I came in the other night and I have a habit of watching dirt movies. I should be watching, you know,
Love Island.
No. You know, Requiem for a Dream. Or I should be watching something that'll test me, like, but just, I turn on Batman versus Superman.
Oh God
is right. Some heap a scutter. The most pointless film. I reckon like Postman versus Butcher would be a more riveting watch. I got through half it, and then the next night we had a show. I went back and finished it. It's absolute dirt.
Dog shit.
Yeah.
Dog shit, yeah. That's my guilty pleasure. Watching stupid movies. Like, what else did I watch? Some of the Marvel stuff. Some people love that. Jeez, I watched Star Wars there one day. Oh my God.
Dirt.
The last one. People were going on him. I know it's filmed down in Kerry and Skellig, Mickle and all. Looks deadly. Kids movie. Star Wars. You get in the ring with me now. Them last few Star Wars are kids movies.
Yeah.
They're absolute horse in a bucket.
My guilty pleasure movies wise is American Pie. Say I've seen it 250 times. And also Jersey Boys, the film.
Dad,
I haven't seen that.
I don't know if it's cool for you know, a man to like Jersey Boys, but I tell you, I do. I love it. And I don't care, lads. I'll shout it from the rooftops.
And Grease.
Grease. Oh, I love Grease. I love musicals. Yeah. The more I talk about myself, I'm just wondering, Christ almighty.
Well, I was working for the county council once upon a time. I was doing my apprenticeship. And I went into a house, and all the people living in the house were members of the travelling community. And inside in the sitting room, there was about 10 of them during the day, sitting around watching Grease.
Mm.
And I came back the next day, and they're watching it again.
It's that good a film.
3 days in a row, they all sat around watching Grease. I just thought it was unusual.
Yeah.
Sorry, I thought that was
class.
I know it's good, like Danny Zuko.
Yeah.
What's your man's name? That he's into Scientology now.
John Travolta. There you go.
John Travolta in his day, Maury, you would like. Jeez, you're a hard woman, please.
No.
Like, fuck it.
Not John Travolta in Greece. John Travolta in Saturday Night Fever. Yeah, I would.
Still John Travolta, like.
Yeah.
Yeah, but not in Greece. He's not hot in Greece, but he's hot in Saturday Night Fever. You know the bit where he's blow drying his hair and...
Yeah, we do that.
And he
oh, there you go. That's my guilty pleasure.
And then he has the shirt and he's doing the walk. I like that, yeah.
Go on, give us yours there. Admit to it.
Yeah, using a hair dryer on my hair. I don't find that weird. I used to have long hair.
Yeah.
So I had to dry my hair. And now that I have short hair, I still don't want to walk around with a big wet head of hair like some clown, like a trout out of a river.
A drowned rat.
Yeah, so what, like?
Yeah, guilty pleasures, I suppose. I look after my eyebrows. I'm going to admit that in the pod. I mean, like, just like, if we're talking guilty pleasure, we're going to have to be honest here with people listening to this podcast.
Yes, you know,
that's it. We bare our souls here.
So, like, in terms of maintaining your eyebrows, how do you maintain them? Do you get them done professionally or is
no,
it?
No, not professionally.
Okay.
Like nobody likes a unibrow, so.
Yeah.
Just pluck. Little pluck.
I'm going to say, I'm 3 feet away from you and they look natural.
Yeah, there you go. You see, that's the key. You don't want to go around like one of the boys in Jersey Shore, big curved eyebrow. No good. So yeah, no, my unibrow, like, you know.
Yeah.
Listen, lads. Fellas out there, thinking, oh, Jesus. Yeah, there is oil on me since 1970. You know what I mean? That's not cool anymore. Fellas need to look after themselves. I'm appealing to the men of Ireland. Moisturise.
Well, when we started working...
There's massive pressure on us, you see.
Yeah.
To look alright, like, to be fair, like.
First time I was on a TV set, Yuan said to me, "What moisturiser do you use?" And I was like, "None, what do you mean?"
"Sawdust."
I'm from Tipperary, I don't use moisturiser. They nearly freaked out at me. Like, what are you doing? You can't be going on TV and not looking after yourself.
Even teat-wise and stuff, and I'm wicked paranoid. Like, I'm getting my teeth kind of done at the moment.
It's, yeah, you going for that?
Yeah, but it is. It's
why
like,
not?
You kind of have to. There's a pressure now on us. So. There you go.
Yeah, you have to look presentable.
Exactly. And if people see me more tanned than, you know, people, I get massive slagging. People say, oh, you use fake tan. I don't. I go to Lanzarote.
He does love Lanzarote.
There you go. Yeah.
Are you going again this year?
I am. I'm going to go back. I'd say we're in negotiations now at the moment there. Me and Johnny on what week to take holidays. But listen, that's a whole other battle. Johnny, any other guilty pleasures for us?
Well, you consider this to be a guilty pleasure of mine. My shoes. I wear runners all the time. And I tie them quite tight.
Quite tight now is, if a normal human being tied the laces, their foot would fall off. I'd say the man is gout. He ties the laces too so tight.
It's like a tourniquet. So, to me, that's the way they're most comfortable. I tie them up nice and tight, like they're a pair of hurling boots. And
You should see his hurling boots.
Your football
when
boots.
When he ties them up, like, oh my God. The toe curls up on him and he's in tight so tight. It's actually embarrassing.
Yeah, but I don't want to be any, you know, loss of momentum. I don't want to be losing.
Losing your shoes.
Yeah.
You want to be running fair fast.
Full Babs Keaton. So I tied them up wicked tight and they don't look great. The laces hang out. But I got a pair of Vans and I didn't tie them up tight.
Yeah, because I made you.
I tried doing what you do where you just tuck the laces down the side. It's driving me crazy. Like, I kept standing on the lace. So now I have a big dirty bow.
Mara, have you got any guilty pleasures? Bear your soul.
Okay, I have a list here. Okay,
oy.
Right, so guilty pleasures TV show would be Pride and Prejudice, the old BBC version. I would watch that. That'd be like my favourite. Like,
never heard of that.
The one with Colin Firth as Mr. Darcy.
Oh, was that a show? I thought it was a film. It was a show, was it?
No, they did a film version of it with Keira Knightley, but it's not as good as the original BBC
Keira
TV
Knightley
series. Yeah. Then music wise, I have a pretty good taste in music. I'd be like quite into my disco and Motown and 80s music, but there is one song that I absolutely love, and that's Bad Touch by the Bloodhead Gang. You know, and I might sing that occasionally in the car and then stop in traffic and people would be looking at me weird.
Karaoke, so. I smell karaoke.
No,
Johnny.
I can't. Then films wise, I just want to say that I do have good taste in certain things. So like, I'd be a devil for, you know, a cheeky foreign language film or something like that. But I do like Scary Movie 1 and 2, White Chicks.
Chicks is a classic.
Yeah.
A cheeky foreign language film.
Yeah.
Tinted tequila you're having, like a cheeky ice pop. I'll just sit down and watch a cheeky 3-hour fucking German old French love stories now.
Yeah, there's a brilliant. There's two films I'd recommend. If this is not really guilty pleasure, but The Lives of Others, a German film. It's just brilliant. It's absolutely well worth watching. And the other one is a French film called Untouchable, and it'll make you feel so much better about the world. So if those two I'd recommend, but I would still. Like, Scary Movie, the original one, holds a special place in my heart. I went to see it twice in the cinema when it came out. Favourite food would be, or like guilty pleasure food. I love batch bread toasted and a cold can of Coke. Then other stuff that I do that's a bit...
Go on, Mara, we're all friends here. There's no one listening. Couple of thousands listening.
Okay, I like making up dance routines to songs in the privacy of my bedroom. I know that's acceptable to do when you're a teenager, and yeah, so that's really embarrassing. That might be edited out, but anyway,
that's not getting edited out. I can tell you that now. Yeah. That's like Johnny B saying he likes to play shop. Things that are acceptable when you're 11. I like making. Can we see some of your dance routines?
No. Like,
if you'd like to see Mara's dance routine,
no.
Text us now.
Anyway, I haven't done it in a while. Anyway, I like reading the Dear Merriam back page of the Farmer's Journal. I always think those letters are so funny. And the last thing I do is that really annoys other people that are around me, but I make a noise when I eat. And, you know, apparently my brother says I sound like a suck calf when I'm eating. So.
Never noticed that.
Yeah, well, you haven't been around. Or
you
like,
said it now. It's going to be like playing on my mind. It's going to blow my mind.
So they're my guilty pleasures. And at least I admitted my very, very guilty ones. Yours were tame, I think.
Johnny B admitted nothing, but he's keeping his cards very close to his chest.
I'm too stubborn.
Too stubborn.
to have
too ignorant to have a guilty pleasure.
Yeah, I wouldn't let myself be happy.
Just speaking on films there as well, The Great Showman. I went to cinema 3 times and watched it. And then I watched it on the fly home from Abbott Abbey as well. And I was half dead. But that's certainly one of my guilty pleasures. Alright lads, so we've bared our soul. We want to know, what are your guilty pleasures? The people listening to this podcast, get in touch with us. Snapchat, Instagram, the whole lot. Get in touch and let us know your guilty pleasures, lads. I look forward to hearing them.
Okay, so our controversial topic is back. Chances are, if you're not watching Love Island, you've probably become a bit of a social pariah or the silent one in your WhatsApp group. But fear not, because Tipperary's own metrosexual, Johnny Smacks, is here to update you on the ongoings of the TV garbage, the dirt on the box that is Love Island.
I'm going to try and keep it to 90 seconds. We're going for the 90 seconds Love Island update. So I'm just going to speak in my normal tape accent. That should be quick enough. So things kicked off. Things are heating up big time. There's a fella we're all in love with. Alex. Dr. Alex. He's a doctor in there. Remember I said that last week?
Yeah.
Now, there's a fella who's stepping on his toes a bit. E.L. E.L. Not to be mistaken with the bear and Winnie the Pooh or whatever that. E.R. Not him. Now, this fella is the most annoying curly-headed fuck since Simon on Coronation Street. You thought that little fucker was annoying. You should see E.L. He's after stepping in and he's after taking away the new girl, Megan, isn't it?
Mm.
Megan. Who some photos leaked during the week. Google it if you want, lads. I'm here to update, nothing else. So Megan came in and Alex had an awful shine for her. Mm. And everybody was rooting for Alex. No, it's like that fella down the club who's not great, but he keeps trying. And you're always...
Well, why did you point at me when you said that?
So, E.L. went off with Megan. Mm. And Megan said, oh, I have an interest in Alex. But she never pursued it. And we're all rooting for Alex. So it actually came down. There was an eviction this week. Charlie and Haley went home. Now, in fairness to Haley, lads, there was more brains in a spade. They said, oh my God, isn't it crazy with Brexit? She didn't know what Brexit was. She English. She thought Wales was a county. Honest to God, Haley. She wouldn't be there. She wouldn't be the brightest spark. So Charlie and Haley.
Wales for Sam.
Wales for Sam. So Charlie and Haley went home. And the bottom two couples were Charlie and Haley and Alex and Samira. But it came down to public vote. And sure, we all love Alex. Yeah. And poor old Samira got through then. She was just lucky. Mm. She was association with Alex kind of got her through. So Alex is still in there. He's looking for love. Alex, we're all behind you. We are all behind you. And of course, Danny and Jack, I'm going to make a bold prediction. Mm. They're going to win it. Danny Dyer's daughter. Danny. No, we said this. I can't emphasize enough how lazy the man is. Name his daughter fucking Danny. So Danny and Jack, but listen, if you're looking for a little few minutes entertainment, Jack does some great impressions of other people in the house. And he actually does a Danny Dyer impression. So check that out online. I'm going to post it. I'll have it on my story on Instagram. You'll all love it. And the thing that keeps us all alive, Love Island memes. I'm going flooding my social media this week with Love Island memes. So make sure and check that out. I'm going to make a prediction now. There's 6 weeks left in Love Island. Mm. Danny and Jack are going to win. Be back next week. Hopefully things will heat up more in the house. Hmm.
Okay, I just want to say, I watched an episode just because Max was going on about it. And to me, it is the strangest, scariest thing I've ever seen.
Would you enter it?
Ah, yeah. No, it's fair weird. People pretending to be going out with each other just to win money is very... It's Machiavellian. It's deception at its highest.
But you can't stop watching it.
It was compelling viewing.
There you go. We all love a bit of shit.
Yeah.
And as our producer Joe said out in the studio, there was money in shit. So that's Love Island, lads, for this week. Hope you enjoyed it. Keep watching and keep snapping me. I'm getting some great Snapchats about Love Island.
Really?
People are just starting to send me memes now as well, and it's just making me day.
Okay, we're going to leave that shite behind us. And
we're going to move on to Yurt or Dirt.
Yurt or Dirt. So my first Yurt of the week is, you know, I'm always pulling up to 24-hour filling stations and getting... I was in a Twitter feud with one of them for a while. We pulled up to one of them.
We ran him out of country, actually.
We ran him out. In Limerick the other night, we pulled up to one. And I says to your man, have you any sandwiches? I have, bye. Have you brown bread? Yeah. What do you want? have you any with chicken? And he's like, look, do you want to just come in? Like, the chances of me naming them all out to you, I'm going to fuck it up. So he let me into the shop and I was able to pick out my own terrible sandwich. So that's my yurt of the week.
My yurt of the week.
So tragic.
Honestly, the young lad was class though. Johnny went in. Mulched on a brown bread sandwich the whole way home. Talking about loud eaters, Mark. So my yurt of the week is the gift that keeps on giving. Brian Kerr.
Yeah.
He's on co-commentator duty there at the moment over in Russia. And I swear to God, like, whatever fella appointed him needs a clap on the back. Because he's absolutely mental. So during the Spain-Portugal game, a player went down injured.
Yeah.
And you know, there was kind of a lull in play, and then they kind of flashed the camera back to the injured player, and Brian Kerr said, I'll tell you one thing, George, he's fairly banjoed now. Now, I don't know what the man was talking about, but he absolutely has me in convulsions of laughter every time he's on co-commentary there. Or co-commentary. So fair play to you, Brian. I'm sure he's a massive fan of the podcast.
Ain't there, and I took that paint off the woodwork.
Yeah. Some fella, yeah. He's
insane. You can see what it means to him.
Yeah, he's brilliant. So I absolutely love him on the telly.
My dirt of the week, very quickly. We've been talking about it. A video ref in the gaff. Claire had a lad sent off. To me, he shouldn't have been sent off. And I hate to see it because, as Noel would say, it is a man's game. No. That's it.
Step up. My dirt of the week is people not using indicators at roundabouts.
Oh my God.
Now, we've had cyclists. We've had that out. Right?
We've all agreed they're a shower of bastards.
But we were in Clamel the other day, driving to Waterford, and came up the roundabout. And this fella just pulled straight out. No indicator. No. So lads, if you're listening,
the two of us started roaring.
I was like, I was going to get out. I was going to say, hey boys, step out for belts. And also, my dirt of the week is a friend of mine there, David Farley, and he's an old shout out, right? He was in the gym and he threw up on his Instagram story. There was a fella in the gym going around with no top on, and he threw it up in his story. A picture of your man, just said, this lad needs to get a life, right? And your man seen it on the Instagram story then. So there's an old bit of Instagram beef going on there. But I'm saying, Farley, we're in your corner.
Yeah.
Fellas, don't be going around the gym with no top.
Yeah, but don't be taking pictures of other people in the gym as well. That's not cool, I don't think.
Hey, there's a fella going around with no top on. He needs a slap of a dumbbell. And I'm putting that mildly now.
No.
That's my dirt of the week.
That's it, lads. Big news for us. Our new single is coming out. First one since our own Valentine's. It was the last one we released. It's going to be unreal.
The first one since Shift. So we'll hopefully play that in the podcast next Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little treat for the listeners.
While filming the video, it did rain on us. So that's...
Yeah. It's a song about summer. And I tell you, blustery conditions in Tremor. Tune the video. All right. Don't forget to rate, review, tell your friends about the Two Johnnies podcast. That's it for this week's show. We're going to Athlone, as we said earlier on. So you'll get the link to tickets there, we'll have it on the socials and stuff like that. It's going to be a great show. Fortunately, it's over 18s, lads, but we hope to announce more shows in due time.
Oh, we're off to America soon.
We're off to San Fran and San Diego. The three of us.
Yeah.
Oh. We're all off. Oh. We're going to bring you a podcast live from LA or something, lads, huh? Schwanky, schwanky. Maura, happy enough with this week's podcast?
Oh, very happy, yeah.
Delightful. I'm off to go back to bed.
Are you?
From me, Johnny Smacks.
From me, Johnny B.
From producer Maura.
We'll be back next week, same time, same channel.
It's the Two Johnnies Podcast. The Two Johnnies Podcast.
Two Johnnies recording a podcast.
The Two Johnnies Podcast is a Big Ball, Small Ball production.